Time Travel, Physicist's Playground. Perhaps the person who has distinguished himself the most on the dense mathematical equations of black holes and time machines is cosmologist Stephen Hawking. Unlike other students of relativity, who often distinguish themselves in mathematical physics at an early age, Hawking was actually not an outstanding student as a youth. He was obviously extremely bright, but his teachers would often notice that he was not focused on his studies and never lived up to his full potential. But a turning point came in 1962, after he graduated from Oxford, when he first began to notice the symptoms of ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. He was rocked by the news that he was suffering from this incurable motor neuron disease that would rob him of all motor functions and likely soon kill him. At first, the news was extremely upsetting. What would be the use of getting a PhD if he was going to die soon anyway? But once he got over the initial shock, he became focused for the first time in his life. Realizing that he did not have long to live, he began to ferociously tackle some of the most difficult problems in general relativity. In the early 1970s, he published a landmark series of papers showing that singularities in Einstein's theory, where the gravitational field becomes infinite, like at the center of black holes and at the instant of the Big Bang, were an essential feature of relativity and could not be easily dismissed, as Einstein thought. In 1974, Hawking also proved that black holes are not entirely black, but gradually emit radiation, now known as Hawking radiation, because radiation can tunnel through the gravity field of even a black hole. This paper was the first major application of the quantum theory to relativity theory, and it represents his best-known work. As predicted, ALS slowly led to paralysis of his hands, legs, and even his vocal cords, but at a much slower rate than the doctors had originally predicted. As a result, he has passed many of the usual milestones of normal people, fathering three children, he is now a grandfather, divorcing his first wife in 1991, 4 years later marrying the wife of the man who created his voice synthesizer, and filing for divorce from his second wife in 2006. In 2007, he made headlines when he went aboard a jet airplane that sent him into weightlessness, fulfilling a lifelong wish of his. His next goal is to blast off into outer space. Today, he is almost totally paralyzed in his wheelchair, communicating to the outside world via movements of his eyes. Yet even with this crushing disability, he still cracks jokes, writes papers, gives lectures, and engages in controversy. He is more productive moving his two eyes than our teams of scientists who have full control over their bodies. His colleague at Cambridge University, Sir Martin Rees, who was appointed Astronomer Royal by the Queen, once confided to me that Hawking's disability does prevent him from doing the tedious calculations necessary to keep at the top of his game. So instead, he concentrates on generating new and fresh ideas rather than cranking out difficult calculations, which can be done by his students. In 1990, Hawking read papers of his colleagues proposing their version of a time machine, and he was immediately skeptical. His intuition told him that time travel was not possible because there are no tourists from the future. If time travel were as common as taking a Sunday picnic in the park, then time travelers from the future should be pestering us with their cameras, asking us to pose for their picture albums. Hawking also raised a challenge to the world of physics. There ought to be a law, he proclaimed, making time travel impossible. He proposed a chronology protection conjecture to ban time travel from the laws of physics in order to make history safe for historians. The embarrassing thing, however, was that no matter how hard physicists tried, they could not find a law to prevent time travel. Apparently, time travel seems to be consistent with the known laws of physics. Unable to find any physical law that makes time travel impossible, Hawking recently changed his mind. He made headlines in the London papers when he said, "Time travel may be possible, but it is not practical." Once considered to be fringe science, time travel has suddenly become a playground for theoretical physicists. Physicist Kip Thorne of Caltech writes, "Time travel was once solely the province of science fiction writers. Serious scientists avoided it like the plague, even when writing fiction under pseudonyms or reading it in privacy. How times have changed. One now finds scholarly analyses of time travel in serious scientific journals written by eminent theoretical physicists. Why the change? Because we physicists have realized that the nature of time is too important an issue to be left solely in the hands of science fiction writers."